Hey, welcome to Juan Epstein. If you're listening on SoundCloud,
thank you.
We really appreciate you listening on SoundCloud.
Well, it's a good way to listen.
It is. It allows audio to be played. But with what we're trying to do with the podcast, the levels we're trying to go to, we suggest and would love and appreciate if you would subscribe on iTunes.
You go to iTunes.
Type in Juan Epstein.
Press subscribe.
You know what you could allow you to do? It'll allow you to go back and you can just listen to any classics you want. Because SoundCloud only has like the last 30 or 40. If you want to go back to the early days. You want to hear Eminem. You want to hear Jay-Z. You want to hear Big Daddy Kane.
Right.
You want to go back.
SoundCloud, so you're saying SoundCloud people are probably new fans. Because SoundCloud is like a new medium for one.
It gets them in the door. And then once you're in from SoundCloud.
They get fucked in the ass.
What?
Sorry.
Why would you
Are we on?
Yeah, no. That's never going to happen to them. At least not.
Wait, hold on. Because open the door. Come in.
And then they're like, I like this. I want to stay here.
Oh, no. I thought it was something
else. You were going a whole direction. Anyway, so we'd appreciate you subscribing on iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, comment, like us, do all that. And now.
But you can go back and listen on SoundCloud if it's easier for you. But just go to iTunes and press subscribe.
You make it so nice, even though you don't know how to say the word subscribe.
Subscribe. Really frustrated.
And also, and of course, you can catch us April 27th at Zanzibar in Santa Monica, California, when we bring Juan Epstein, the Juan Epstein
April
Social.
April 27th, 2014. Because what if they're listening in the future?
Good point. Now, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Today, we have Pharoah Monch on Juan Epstein. Yeah! Man. Welcome, Pharoah.
Remember Organized Confusion?
The group?
Yeah.
Very well. I remember them well.
Remember that second album?
Yes. Stress.
Yes. The Extinction Agenda.
Yes, you remember that.
Two SB-12s on the back.
What?
We could talk about it if you want.
Well, we should. Pharoah Monch is here. Pharoah Monch has a new album called...
First one is good, too. Don't get it twisted.
No, I know.
First one was good.
PTSD is out right now. I'm wearing the t-shirt.
Now, that's a new album.
Brand new album.
Okay.
Pharoah Monch was one
out
of...
Out when?
It's out right now. It
today.
Dropped yesterday.
It dropped yesterday.
Yeah.
Pharoah is one of the only guys. Well, A, he doesn't age physically.
No. I don't know
if you're aware of that. You probably known him from the Raucous days also?
Yeah. Even before that.
Before that, but
I should have brought the picture from Nassau Community College.
What was that, Sife?
That was Organized Confusion, Beat Nuts.
Woo! Oh, that was the
Search.
Wow, remember that show.
Remember that show?
Yeah.
I feel like Search was there.
Didn't you? Wait, you're not talking about the Best of the Underground tour.
No.
Because you remember that? You did
this
that.
It was a random show put together by a Nassau Community College student.
And you went.
Whatever. I worked it.
What'd you do there?
I don't know. Some kind of crew.
You
some kind of.
Just.
Got pictures with everybody.
You got pictures with everybody. You know,
OC was there.
Of course he was.
OC, Beat Nuts, Search, Organized Confusion. There was one more. It was five groups.
I love it.
Artifacts.
See that?
Artifacts.
Right. Oh, so they did take some of the Best of the Underground tour.
Yeah.
Because that tour. I wasn't allowed to go to in 10th grade.
Well, I feel like maybe Duckdown was there too.
All right, Sife, let's move on from there. He has more of a career than just that day at Nassau Community College, Sife. We only have so much time.
I know. I was going out with a girl named Jeanette.
Okay, so this is totally irrelevant.
I tell you, I used to fuck it up. Ain't the Devil Happy by Jay Rudd.
That was that girl? That was that girl? Lucky girl. Did she go to the concert?
She worked it also.
Oh my God. This is such a pathetic story.
I would have let the Beat Nut smash it just because, you know?
Well, that's what they did. Because that's what I do.
All right, go ahead.
Pharoah Monch is here, man. How are you, Pharoah?
Good, man. Little fucking beat from last night, but I'm up and I'm here.
Good.
We had the album release party at SOB.
You sounded crispy last night.
Yeah, I had some time off from touring, so my vocals were clean, but nice. Not so much this morning.
But today, no.
Doesn't feel that great.
Yeah.
Are you a weed smoker?
Nah, I can't smoke.
Asthmatic.
You're asthmatic. Of course you are. So that means you don't smoke at all.
I tried the pens with the wax
vapor.
And that type of thing, but nah, it's
not for you.
So you want to smoke weed?
Yeah, definitely, man.
Why don't you do the brownies and stuff?
Nah,
that puts you on your ass, Sife. It's different altogether.
Yeah,
that's one of my stories. I'll improv my brownie,
really
my Amsterdam brownie story.
Perfect. That couldn't be more perfect for Sife's improv show. So where do you start, Sife? Where do we start with this guy?
Something about a piece of chicken?
Before the chicken.
It was before the
and
chicken.
And I love chicken. How did it all start for Pharoah Monch?
I mean, man, I was in high school, like most.
Which high school?
Cats, art and design, who start rapping. And
Who else did art and design with you?
It was New York City Breakers and the whole element, cultural graffiti element. You know what I'm saying? I was talking to Fable the other day and Mr. Freeze, and it's just the whole cultural aspect with dance and all that. And I was just like, this shit is ill. I got to be a part of it. And I sucked at dancing.
You tried?
I tried. I tried beatboxing. I tried every fucking thing.
When you tried to dance, were you trying more to pop or were you trying more to break?
More pop.
All right. Yeah, more a popper than a breaker?
I wasn't getting down on the fucking floor, man. Yeah. I couldn't do that.
What is a popper? What's the popping part more than the break? What's the popping?
I think it's like the upper body part.
Yeah.
And the breaking's getting down.
Yeah.
Me and Sife sort of, you know, I suppose if you were like a real hip-hop snob, you'd probably think we're assholes because we kind of mock the breakdancing part of hip-hop. We sort of make jokes about it because in old school songs, it's like it was such a huge part of the culture, but by the time we got really into it, it was starting to fade a little bit. I really think of it as a super mid-80s part of hip-hop culture, like when people were literally battling. Like, let's fight with a dance.
Yeah.
By the time I got into it,
was dope, though,
was
man.
It awesome?
It was dope, man.
I'm sure it was, but
I just don't relate to it. I missed it. People were just fighting. When I got into it, regular fighting. So at Art and Design, who else was there? Anyone else famous go when you were there? Any great alum?
Prince Poe, Kwame.
Was Kwame already popping when you got there?
Nah, he was just doing the rhythm.
Okay.
Where's Art and Design again?
It doesn't exist anymore. They just tore it down. I mean,
oh,
the
really?
School exists, but they tore the building down on 57th Street.
In the city, right?
2nd Avenue, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And then Prodigy came later, and Percy P, and Percy P was in the school with us. So he was a big influence, man. He was like mad lyrical and ahead of his time, Percy.
Well, can someone explain Percy P to me? Percy P was popping way back in the day, but then nothing really happened, and then he got popping again on Stone's Throw years later. Mm. It's just very weird. What happened, though? Did he have anything that really popped early?
I think he was just the most traditional, I will not stray from the original standards, and I'm staying in the tradition, dude. And it went full circle and came back. And, you know, you had a fan base that was like, we want tradition. And he fit right in.
Well, then it went
again.
Then it continued to go really full circle, and that Percy P is literally out and around just selling CDs hand to hand.
Now?
Literally.
He's always done that,
but
though.
He always did it, right?
As long as he's been popping.
No matter what.
On the block with a bag of CDs.
So even when at his peak of his Stone's Throw day, when he was probably getting, you know, several G's to do shows, he was still, if you saw him, he had
yes,
a CD
sir.
In his hand.
Yes, sir. Hmm. Big up Percy P.
I saw him at Rock the Bells last year.
Yeah, man. Seven CDs.
Yep. Give me a CD. Give me a freebie. And he signs them all.
Nice.
So, were you friends with Prince Poe already? Were you guys buds or you became friends just in school?
We became friends in school. And then, like I said, I wasn't even emceeing. You know, I would play beats on the lunchroom table. And Purse would rhyme and Prince would rhyme and Kwame and whoever. And I would just be like, dope. My man got some equipment. I was like, dude, you live around the way.
Who was your man who got the equipment?
His name is DJ Tostic. Prince lived in 40 Projects, right around the block from me.
Explains like, his love for 40 Belows.
Yeah, man, that's what it is. And
explains the love.
I was like, yo, let's rap. Let's make a tape. Let's do something. And we sucked. And we sucked really bad. But I was able to see that we sucked really bad. And I was like, we suck really bad. We need to get better if we're going to do this professionally. So we worked at it.
What was the first name of your group?
Simply Two Positive MCs.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You told me that. It's one of the worst.
And we thought it was dope because we used the Roman numeral 2 in the
God.
Middle.
It's so
that
bad.
Made it better.
Right. It didn't.
And I remember we shopped it to Russell Simmons, and he was like, this is the worst fucking name ever in history. I was like, all right, fuck it, man. If Russell says it's whack, it must
were
be
you guys, hold on. Were you guys already trying? Did Bobbito play a role in there?
Yeah.
Bobbito brought him the tape, right? Or did something like that?
He brought it to Russell.
Remember that? Bobbito told us that when he was here.
Yeah. Russell mulled over it and was like, I pass. He passed on Nas, too.
Yeah, and at the same time, he passed on Nas. I have to support him passing on you guys at the time, though, with your name being Simply Two Positive MCs. Was that what it was? Simply Too Positive.
And then we was like, STP. And he was like the oil? That's still whack. You know what I'm saying?
Although then, of course, STP did work for someone else. It did eventually pop off. Yeah. Stone Temple Pilots got a fucking crack-a-lackin'.
There you go.
So why Organized Confusion?
I just thought that was like the ultimate dope oxymoron rock, fit the two personalities and the
true
schizophrenicness of the group.
You're the organized.
We're both both.
You're both both.
Yeah, we're both both.
But a little birdie told me last night, and I won't say who, that you are notoriously on time. Because back in the day, Prince Poe was notoriously late, and it drives you crazy. You're an on-time kind of guy. And sure enough, I got the text today, 7 minutes before he's supposed to be here. He was probably there before that. Yo, really? You're that early?
No, I'm with you. I'm with you, Farrell.
Yo, and if somebody tell me, I don't care. It doesn't matter. It doesn't even have to be important. Yo, can you be there at 11 o'clock? I'm like, yeah. If I'm in traffic and it's 10:45, I'm like,
yo, I'm the same way. You start flipping out, right?
The fuck, man.
You know they're not gonna stress. Yeah. They said probably around 11. Yeah. You know, so it was kind of loose, and it's something that's out of your control.
Yep.
I just start getting fucking crazy.
But it's such a good trait for you guys to have. I mean, I think it's such a. I wish I had that.
I know what it is. I know people are casually late. I can't change that. You know, it is.
Who would
it
ask
is,
you
right?
to change that?
You know, hip hop is late.
No,
this industry is late.
It's got to drive you crazy, though.
Yeah, like
waiting for rappers or industry people, it drives me fucking nuts.
Makes you nervous every time?
What do you mean nervous?
Like if you need them for something, like your show.
Yeah, that regardless of that. That's,
your improv show has to start on time.
Yeah, that's a show for customers and audience and people performing. I'm talking about just in general.
Just
like
a meeting.
In the studio. Like, rappers show up to the studio 2-3 hours late. Like, it's okay. Like, don't fuck with my time, bro.
Yeah, I think that's what triggers the thing in my brain. Waiting for motherfuckers is, like, the worst thing in the world. Yeah. So, in turn, instead of me being like, now I'm going to wait, make motherfuckers wait, you're like, I'm never going
to
do that.
Yeah, I don't want
to
do that to
you. But for the record, that's what, like, I would always describe Farrell from the first time I've met him as a good guy. Like, I just, you know, we're not best friends, but I feel like I know Farrell. Met him, hung out a whole bunch of times, and I would say he's a good man. That sums it up. Mm-hmm. When you decide that because someone does something annoying to you, you would never want to do, it's a basic principle in life.
Yeah.
But that is a very strong principle as a human being to have. But you said you and Prince Poe both had both. You were both organized. In what ways are you the confusion?
I'm the dude that's like bringing the stream of variety and I think from one extreme to the next.
Rap wise?
To the situation. Idea wise and rap wise, like let's go all the way over here.
Yeah.
But in the same sense, you know. Prince did the same thing. So I thought the name would be fitting because, you know, I'm the comic book nerd dude, but still in the hood. Prince is the ball player, but still in the hood, you know. So
you and Prince still close?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Always.
We just recorded a record for his album he did with Oh No, with OC on it. Smash. And I think, you know, just rap groups are like relationships. And just like relationships, you're like, fuck you, you know, or we gotta work through that. That's how it's supposed to be if it's really organic, you know what I'm saying? So any true group, you should have that. And even when a group splits, I felt like that's real too. Like sometimes it's like, fuck, we gonna stay married forever? Like,
well, you know what's really funny? This is funny. In marriage, the problem is because jealousy exists, you can't take those breaks. People can't recover from them. Whereas sometimes, like, it's real shit, right? Like, a partnership like that, like, is, like, Prodigy and Havoc were here recently, right? We talked all about their shit that happened with them recently, which was hilarious. And you know, pause on the whole conversation. But again, it really is like that. Like, they had a moment where it was like, oh, fuck you. You know, and Havoc was basically just like annoyed with Prodigy. He was fucking drunk and had a phone and did something stupid, as happens in relationships. And then they had the worst explaining to do. Because I remember at the time when that shit came out, we're like, how do they recover in this? Yeah. In hip hop, how do you recover from one person calling their partner gay? Like, mm-hmm. in hip hop, how do you do that? Mm-hmm. And they have. Because everyone, you know, they've basically been straightforward. Like, oh, we were just fucked up. But in marriages, because y'all are, because you and Prince Po are two straight dudes in a working relationship, you're able to be like, fuck off for a while. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean the love's not there.
Right.
In a marriage, marriages could use that every once in a while. Yeah. But people can't really recover from it. Yeah. Because then they go fuck someone else. That's the difference. The sex is what makes it impossible.
It's just sex.
It's just sex. It's let go. Like, you, when you guys break up and y'all go do songs with each other, I mean, it's not really a big deal. You just get back and work together again.
Yeah.
Although in some cases, the doing songs with other people has become a big deal. It depends on the relationship.
Well, what is he still rhyme? Like, what does he
yeah,
do?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's remarkable. We shot a video for the Smash record. Matter of fact, you mentioned the Stress Joint. It's the 20th anniversary of that album.
Everybody got 20 anniversary.
Crazy. So many albums came out in 94.
Yeah.
There is a Dark Side, Fugees, Nas, just, it's like,
no one's
10
even talked about
memorable albums in 94.
Yeah.
Stress happened to be one of them. And we're releasing, like, you know, on vinyl, like the instrumentals from now. I found a dat in the house somewhere of instrumentals.
Yes.
Like, holy shit.
Yeah, Pharaoh.
Are you doing that with what, with Traffic and Get On Down? Is that what's is that where it's going through? Who's putting that out? Oh, y'all just doing it yourself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you know, he put out an album with Ono from LA, Madlib's brother, insane producer.
Cypher, have you heard of Ono?
First record was Smash.
No. Oh no, you have not heard of him. Mm-hmm. He's amazing. He wouldn't be. He'd have some shit that was up your alley. A lot of it, I think you wouldn't be your vibe.
What's the vibe of it?
Well, yeah. Ono is sort of. I can't even call him a disciple of Dilla because he's really a disciple of Madlib, but Madlib and Dilla are both that weird ambient shit that you don't always like.
Mm.
So Sife and I have endless conversations about this subject. But Ono's amazing. He's really fucking dope. And Poe is just sort of, y'all haven't done things that differently, honestly. It's just that, to be totally realistic about it, you just had the solo part that blew up bigger. You had the, wouldn't you say, like, have you guys taken totally different paths, or did you just have a bigger look when you had the Raucous situation?
Well, I think as soon as we dismembered, one of the reasons was I was like, I got fucking all this shit in my head that I need to say that I think would be, you know, wrong to ask you to be a part of my fucking mental shit, you know, really to get off my chest. I need to do that. So I think I took the first active movement in being serious about recording right away, you know what I mean? And so that happened. But I kind of felt like the energy that I needed to get out, what people would respond to it. And got some offers before I even recorded. And I just wanted to be like, yo, let me let these labels hear what I would do with the music solo as opposed to in the group. And then things kept shifting. You know, I come from that era where, you know, you put it together, you take your time, you paint it, you do artwork and the album cover, and it shifted on me real quick to mixtape, mixtape, mixtape. And even I wasn't putting out music fast enough, or it was a litigation situation with the label over the lawsuits or whatever. So, you know, this is my fourth solo album. I know it's an experience. A lot of time has passed, but still, like, I've done more solo albums.
Internal Affairs. What was the second one?
Internal Affairs, Desire, War
and this one.
PTSD. Yeah.
War was dope, man. They've all been very good. I think War is my second favorite after Internal Affairs. Hold on. Before we get to Internal Affairs, there's a lot.
Yeah, you got to go back.
We got to go back. You can't go forward without going back. Where did OC come from? Where did the OC relationship come from?
OC is from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Moved to Queens on my block as a high school, you know, beginning in high school, and was chilling and was not saying anything, and me and Prince were doing our thing, and he was like, "Yo, I spit." We were like, and he spit, and we were like, "Oh, shit." You know what I mean? Like, this kid's phenomenal, so.
Wait, the first album, though, like, that was before you did the first album?
This was
while recording it?
Yeah, the first album. He was on the Fudge Pudge record, and then got discovered by Searchlight, with him and Nas. And that's the story with the word Life album.
OC's mad random when you think about it.
Random.
The places he's connected to,
yeah.
I can't even add it up.
Yeah,
so there's Nas, Search, Y'all, DITC. It's so, he's all over the place. And remember when he was supposed to like pop? He had the Jay-Z record,
mm-hmm.
Bonafide. Nothing ever.
What was the other one he had? Was it Vette Michelle on it?
No, that was from the album, Far From Yours.
Yeah.
I
love that record.
Yeah.
I love that album. I love OC's second album. I think Jewel's amazing. I think people kind of...
He got on stage at the Organized Confusion show and ran off 10 records that the crowd was just... That were like...
Recently?
I was just like... Just back to back. Like the Big L records, like...
Oh.
It's bananas.
He's got... Yeah. And he's got verses that people fucking absolutely love. So he was just always down with you guys. And it's interesting that he fit in too. Like, you guys, in a way, are like, I don't know, is there a better, like, I don't know, as a rapping duo,
mm-hmm.
you guys are like, there's usually a weaker link. Y'all were both really strong as rappers.
Definitely. Definitely. And it was pushed on us by our crew, and within the crew, you know, each time out, it was competition, it was jokes, you know, because you're from the hood, you got to be able to crack jokes. But, you know, I would come out the booth and everybody would be like, I think you got smoked, B, you need to do that verse again. Literally.
Wow. So. And you would go do it again.
Yeah.
And then are there times where then you would do it again and then he would go feel obligated to do it again?
We would get on each other's nerves with that.
Until it's like, all right, time to dead.
To the point where it was serious. Like, it was like, all right, you know. That's even how it started, because OC would come over to my crib and be like, yo, check this out. And you're sitting there like, oh, yo, that's dope, man. All right, I'm going to see you tomorrow.
You start writing.
Better fucking come up with some better shit than that.
Shit.
That's what crews are about.
Yeah.
And pushing an envelope is about, obviously. But even within the group, when we got budgets... And we was on labels, you know, our clique was all fucking class clowns and jokesters, so.
Was anyone else known from who your clique? Was anyone else we know? Mostly just your people.
Yeah.
Yo, what were you guys on, Hollywood Records?
Mm-hmm. Hollywood Records.
Yeah, Basic.
Hollywood Basic.
Hollywood Basic.
I like the logo.
The logo is tight.
The 12-inch vinyl.
Yeah, the jacket.
Artwork, yeah.
The blue and black.
Yeah.
Who was anyone else on Hollywood Basic?
There's one other group I remember. I had the, what was it?
Oh shit, I can't even remember now.
I know I had a, I looked, I saw some vinyl. I'm like, oh, it's the same one as Organized Confusion. Must be good.
By the way, you know it's a bad sign if you go, was anyone else on your label? And he's like, oh, there should at least be one other person.
Yeah, that was ill. That's the ill story.
Who was supposed to be on it?
We were all went to the West together, and they had a cat named Dave Funkin' Klein, rest in peace.
You've heard of him.
Yo, Dave Funkin' Klein is slowly but surely becoming one of the most referenced characters on Juan Epstein.
He's a legend.
I mean, he comes up all the time.
He's a legend. He was responsible for breaking artists overseas. I know he was the first to take Tribe and Jungle Brothers over there, so that in itself is huge for hip-hop. But because he had the situation, they were actually courting Cypress, Naughty, and us. And I'm pretty sure Naughty had a bidding war going. So did Cypress. And B-Real, his partner. Zendog told me recently, we were on tour together, not recently, but a couple of years back in Australia, he told me a story that Hollywood Basic was like, yo, we want to sign y'all, big money, but y'all can't say the N-word. You know, y'all Latino, like.
Who,
and they
Cyprus?
Were like, yo, we're not changing that. Like, no, that's who we are. We're not changing it. And they was like, you can't do that. You got to change it. And they were like, fuck you.
And that was it.
Wow, that's crazy.
Good no, thing. But and Hollywood Basic wanted the three of y'all. Unfortunately for Hollywood Basic, they only got the most underground leaning of the three.
Exactly.
Naughty Pop.
I felt that way. I'm like, damn, man.
Y'all could have, because it would have been great for y'all too.
I know.
They, but they like also, that. There's no way they could have competed if you think about it. Cypress ended up signing with Sony, and Naughty ended up with Tommy Boy. There's no way Hollywood Basic could have competed, I would think, financially with those offers.
Wait, what was Hollywood Basic? What was it through, or who owned it?
Hollywood, they had money.
Disney. But it was Disney?
They didn't. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They didn't understand how to work that shit. If you're telling Cypress not to use the fucking word, the N-word, then you missed it. You missed it.
That was the group?
Double D and Stagsky at Broadway, the Lifers Group.
Yeah.
Lifers Group was on there?
Yeah.
And Raw Fusion.
Raw Fusion. Okay, all right. Some classic
that.
Names from back in the day.
So you did one album.
We produced for the Lifers Group. We had to go in Rahway State Prison with machines to record the inmates.
Oh, Lifers Group was actually done in jail?
Yeah.
They were in jail for life.
Oh, they were lifers?
Yeah.
Lifers Group. In jail.
But they let them record? What, did the money go to charity or something?
Dude.
Please explain, Farrah.
Allowed us, me, first of all, to go into Rahway State Prison to try to choose 5 guys out of 25 inmates.
Oh, my God.
Who would be in this group and record this record?
Who's head of this operation?
Motherfuckers were getting shanked and stabbed because I was like, he is okay, but this one is really good.
Shank, shank.
Well, I guess we'll go with this guy. Fuck, I'm serious.
I believe it.
I'm like, why am I here doing this?
Yo, but why? Why? Who allows this operation? Like, I don't understand how someone. How did
somebody
someone convince?
Got it sanctioned, and they thought it.
The,
somebody
it
was
to go
like,
to charity
oh, gangsters
want to
be
right?
gangsters. We'll sign some real gangster rappers. They really killed people. And
Lifers Group.
And they had a video. The video used to be on Video Music Box. Like, I'm like, are they in jail?
Yo, that Lifers Group was crazy. I think my brother copped that album. I think he got copped. Wow, that's nuts. So, second album was also, it was not Hollywood.
You did Fudge Punch?
Yeah, we did that collectively, like all of us. Just,
the way beats used to be made back in the day.
Yeah.
Everybody had a little piece.
Dun-dun-dun-dun. Yeah.
Dun-dun-dun. It's a good song.
Dun, 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 dun. How would you have ever gotten any of that stuff cleared now for what as long as?
Hell no.
What's the beginning?
What, he would have got it cleared. It just would have been expensive. Yeah.
What was the first the piano that the song starts with? What is that again?
Oh, that's Anton Puchowski actually playing piano from the studio in Queens. He engineered for Large Pro and he played. So he was just real dope dude to have in the studio because. He'd be like, we need an intro.
And play it. Mm-hmm.
But like, he did. But he wasn't replaying. That was original?
That was original. Yes.
Really? Why didn't someone then sample that? There had to be a way to flip that. I assume that was a jack.
Nah.
Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah. Who? Anyone used that before? Who else used that before y'all?
Naughty.
Cypress.
Showbiz and AG. Showbiz and AG. Time.
But yours was more soulful somehow.
Some of them came out around the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. What record is that?
James Brown.
James Brown.
Which James Brown record is it?
Yeah.
You know what?
I don't know.
It's a JB's record.
Let's go on who sampled. I need it. Because why don't I have it? That's the question.
You know, should have it.
But I got to tell you right now, one of the things about James
Brown.
Might
be Pass the Peas.
It's not Pass the Peas. That's da-na-da-da-da-da-da.
It might be Pass the Peas Part 2.
Yo, shut up with your Part 2s, all right? Yo, James Brown is Part 2s. The crazy thing about James Brown 45s is no matter what I get, Saif, no matter how many I get, there's more that I need. And I always find some that are nothing. You always will stumble on the ones that are just nothing. Fudge Pudge, It's More Peas.
More Peas, told you.
So I do have it. So it's on the B side of Pass the Peas.
It was part two.
So it is part two.
Told you. I don't know why you didn't believe me.
It doesn't sound anything like that to me, though. That's, well, I guess James, so James
you
Brown.
You think they were doing puffy remixes where it had to sound like a little bit the same?
What the fuck? Yo, so hold on. But you also used I'm Gonna Love You Just a Little More, Baby. Which part is that? Which one did you use that on there? The Barry White?
Yeah, it was like. So this is original.
That's original.
That's James Brown.
Isn't that on a CB?
I don't know why it sounds like that. I'm gonna tell you the Barry White part.
Oh no, that's it. The keys there.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Did you copy it?
I had an extra note.
That has to be it.
Yeah.
Not. Oh, is it?
Hold on. Ooh, and I like it.
You had to clear that, right?
Now.
Oh, yeah, it's listed as a sample on Who Sampled. That is that what Jermaine Jackson? Oh, DeBar.
Okay, sorry.
God, I gotta tell you though, it is unbelievable how much of one of my favorite songs that is. Is that song up there for you?
I'm realizing
it. It's up there. It is really one of the best songs.
You know what I think this song is? The original.
You still listening for the part?
Yeah,
it's over.
This song is the original. It's gonna sound crazy. This song is the original.
Stop playing it.
They want effects.
Why? And stop playing it, please. It's over.
I'm trying to find this part.
It's. Do you know what it is? We don't know where it is. I think it's that part, and you guys are wrong.
You're telling him he's wrong with his own.
Yeah, I've done that before.
Know what's weird about that song? No chorus.
No chorus.
Yeah, it's the original They Want Effects.
Okay, in what sense?
It's like Hong Kong Fooey.
Number one super guy. And what's that from? What is that again?
And I like it. Like all these little pieces of different songs.
And pieces of pop culture and things. Yeah. What's Hong Kong Fooey again?
It's a cartoon.
It's a cartoon. I'm young, guys. Mm. I'm so young and fresh. Hong Kong Fooey is for... I don't remember. That was a reference I didn't know.
Wow.
He doesn't know. No way. He's even younger. So was the second album also on Hollywood Basic?
Yep.
It was?
It looked different, though. The label looks different.
I thought it was Priority. No, that was after.
That was the next one.
The last one, yeah.
That's somehow, some way.
So how'd you make that second album the classic? On the same label. You must have went and just did your own thing. You just took the money and went and did your own thing.
Do you not like the first one?
I do, but I feel like your first album, they probably have more influence and it trying to get you to do this and that. Second album, they were like, fuck off.
It's funny. Actually, there's a big dichotomy even between Who Stole the Last Piece of Chicken and Fudge Budge. Because I remember when I first saw Who Stole the Last Piece of Chicken, didn't know who you guys were. My initial thought was like kind of jokey. Mm-hmm. It was goofy. Mm-hmm. And then Fudge Budge, y'all are just in some fucking warehouse or something. Mm-hmm. And it looked like much more serious.
Yeah. But you mean they shot a 90s rap video?
Yes, exactly.
Warehouses
both
were fucking
killing
on
it.
Fire, yo.
Yeah, you had to. So you did. Was the budget bigger for the second album?
Yeah, it escalated.
So they were pleased with the first album.
Yeah, they felt like they had fucked up, and we also made them feel like they had fucked up because we were touring and doing shows, and the group got acclaimed, but
they didn't sell much.
Yeah,
what'd you sell?
I don't even remember. I don't even remember back then.
But they're like, why is this group on the road and doing so many shows?
So
we didn't sell records.
Didn't amount to shit. So
didn't have any money. No money from that first album.
No,
nothing.
Second album was simply, our contemporaries started fucking bringing it, and that's what was dope about that golden era. Motherfuckers were going hard, And I mean, you're talking about Brand Nubians and Tribe and Black Sheep and De La and Souls of Mischief. And
I mean, 93 is a monster year. So in 93, there's all these crazy people talking about Midnight Marauders, like it's, you know, epic. De La's album, Blue Mind State, was epic. All these crazy albums coming out. Black Sheep dropped.
Yeah, now that I'm realizing it, your shit was slept on a little.
Of
it
course.
Was up there with them.
But no, but Organized Confusion was definitely one level more underground, I believe.
Yeah.
If you met someone who fucked with Organized, it meant something different than them fucking with Tribe. You were like, oh, you like Organized? It was almost, between DITC and Tribe, right. Was Organized.
Because the rhymes were kind of.
I don't know, just because they. Yeah, maybe that's what it was. I mean, but like DITC, like, if, for example, growing up in Maryland, I didn't meet anyone who knew Showbiz and AG. I might have known a handful of people who knew Organized. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then the Tribes and De La's had a bigger, you know, a slightly bigger group than that. What, Sife?
Walk the Sun?
Or Walking to the Sun?
I have to pull the albums out.
Dust off the, it wasn't the, the first album, I don't think I've ever seen the full-length first album on vinyl. Is it single vinyl or double?
First album?
Yeah.
Vinyl, yeah.
Double?
Single.
The second one's single, too, which is whack.
Smart enough to do double.
Yeah, you did the second album single vinyl.
Yeah.
It's terrible. I really got a major complaint about that. Who can I call about this?
Yeah, they fucked up with stuff like that, you know?
That's just not knowing.
But yeah.
Who produced on the second album? Besides y'all?
Prince did. Rockwaller.
Oh, Rockwaller did?
They discovered Rockwaller. Would you say you discovered Rockwaller? You were the first to use him, right?
Us, Redman.
Were you the first to use him? I think he was on your album first. Could be wrong.
He was kind of working with Redman already, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, he's from the hood, so.
From your neighborhood? Or Queens?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Come on. I gotta pull this album out this time. Sorry.
Yeah, I heard.
Fuck.
Farrell, we'll continue on with the story, but where do you put yourself? Like, honestly, in your head, like, you know that you have to know that you're up there. Like, even though it's funny, you're a guy who's left off lists all the time. By myself included, probably, if I'm sitting there getting forced to name a list, but you also know that you could compete with anyone who's on those lists. Like, anyone who knows hip-hop would know Pharoah. You could put him in a room in a cypher with the greats, and you would be right there.
I think it depends on the conversation. Even when I think of the conversation myself, you know, you're talking... What numbers are you talking? 1 through 5 or 1 through 10? If you're talking 1 through 5, you have to be talking Jay-Z. You have to be talking Nas and Eminem and Biggie. You know what I'm saying? It's senseless for...
Because of the sheer level of greatness?
...put themselves in that category. If you're talking a conversation about lyricism plus appeal plus song and impact...
Greatness.
And greatness. How could you, like, come on, man.
So you're just saying...
Longevity?
Longevity.
See, I don't count longevity.
Longevity has to be good longevity. Huh?
I know, but I think it clouds the argument.
Well, but sometimes people do overrate other people who had a much shorter period of a body. I don't know. It just depends how you look at it. Like, I mean, I guess it's different. In the case of someone like Biggie, you know, without a shadow of a doubt, if Biggie had put out more albums, they were going to be good. Like, he'd made that clear from what he'd already done, because he'd made about what? If he appeared on 75 songs, the percentage that was great was so high that you're like, this guy was going to continue
to
be good.
That's the sad part that still hurts to this day with Biggie's death. Is like, where the fuck would he have taken that shit, and how that would have played and all the pieces on the chessboard?
Well, I think also it's what makes it a harder argument. We don't have to go down this whole road. Sife.
Charles Mingus?
You can't just go, you can't just get so excited about the music that you check out on the interview to listen to your iPod. Oh,
sorry.
You just come back and listen later. But like, I think that clouds sometimes the argument. Like, for me, I think that's why you have a hard argument about putting Tupac on the same level as some of those other ones, is because there is a large body of work. And for the average hip-hop fan, when they're being honest, they don't listen to a lot of that body of work. They really don't. They didn't find it that strong. And I love Pac. I would never doubt his cultural influence. But when you're talking about MC status, that first album, you're not sitting around listening to Pac's first album. Most people are not. Ready to Die is nearly perfect. Anyways, that's a whole different conversation. But you think when it gets down to the 6 through 10, do you think that's a place where people should think of you? Do you think you're worthy of being in that place?
I'm saying, depending on the conversation, you know, heads who fuck with me be like, when it comes to cerebral people who take, you're number one.
Right.
Like, okay.
Who are you? And you're like, who else is in that category? Who else am I battling with? No. Who else do you think you would be? What if there is a category for that? For that super cerebral, different, you have to listen on multiple levels. But the thing is, I would never call you, like, when we make jokes about, like, rapidy rap, and people are like,
Lyrical Miracle,
right? Mm. You are Lyrical Miracle, but you're mad soulful and on beat and
too.
And understandable.
Yeah, that's why, like, you are Lyrical Miracle.
Yeah, I think I was really Lyrical Miracle on the first album. And then some on the second, on Extinction Agenda. By Equinox, it started to get a little bit more soulful. And then, honestly, I just was like, everybody's doing that shit right now. In
your space, world, yes. In the space. Raucous, sound-bombing, fucking lyricist lounge space. Then you go the other way with Internal Affairs, where you have songs that are super easy. I mean, shit, you're borderline a goddamn sellout, Pheromone. Simon says, rub on your titties. I mean, listen, now we have to get to, we have to get to Internal Affairs. However, what do you prefer, Stress Original or Stress Remix? Forced to choose.
Rock on with your bad self. Rock.
Cause I'm obsessed with the remix. I like. You did? And take that shit from Large Profess.
I don't remember what was the remix?
Yeah, man. I don't know, man. That's hard, man.
But in concert, I'm guessing the original has to be better. It has to ring harder than the remix.
Yeah, because it has the big intro.
Extra P remix?
Yeah. How well do you know it, Syfe?
I don't remember it. I'm going to hear it right now.
What? How are you doing it? Oh, God. It's going to be some nasty YouTube clip again.
I just got to hear it.
Can at least just get spot up? Put it to the mic. Let them hear it, too.
I just got
to
recognize it real quick.
The illest is how it starts with what is the tap on the NPC?
Got a story about that, too. Yo, it's the verbal assault weapon with words uncanny. No, original.
This is you. This is Dilla-ish.
It's not Dilla-ish.
Yes, it is.
You're just always like the harder version.
Yeah, this is all you. This is your style. This is that, like, more jazzy. Like, but happy jazz.
White people like happy jazzy. Okay, so what's the story with the UNSA?
That's why you like Midnight Marauders better. That's that sound.
That is more happy jazzy.
Yeah.
So, you know, Large Pro, we came up with Large. We were like, yo, we need a remix for this Buck Wild song. He's like, I got you. He brings his 12 to the studio. And 2312 is a code in a 1200 that erases everything you just did. And it's just gone forever. So Paul is in there, he's working on shit. Boom, 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 boom. And we're like, oh. And like, we're trying not to jock him and sweat him, but we're like, oh.
Large Pro's just going ham.
And he's 2312.
Wait, why'd he did it on purpose?
That? I don't think that's it. Next beat. We're like, oh. 2312.
Oh, fuck. This guy's Pharrell.
So for like 30 minutes. Like, what the fuck is he doing? He's chopping the shit up. But we go with that. That's what we go with. Bond. He's like, yo, I want to go with this because I want to change the swing and I want to do this. All right, boom. I'm in the booth and I'm first on the song. And I keep missing.
I would never get that. I can't get it now. I can't even cut it. I can't even bring it back as a DJ.
And I'm like, because it's an off time.
It's so off.
But he's looking at me like, motherfucker, count. Just count. I'm like, I don't understand the count. And Paul is like yelling, like, are we really going to be here all night just to get the intro of this fucking song?
Why didn't he just loop it up and let you jump in where it makes sense?
That's not what he does.
You had to jump in on the... That is the worst. I can't even rap along to that song. I never know when you start.
It's off. We just was practicing it for the show. I was at Boogie Blind, my DJ's crib, like, again, let me try it again. I'm like, yeah, but that's, he actually was like pissed at me that I couldn't catch it. He probably doesn't even remember that shit.
He's a different kind of genius. By the way, I'm an asshole that I said the on the MP when it's large pro and it's obviously the SP.
Yeah, you disrespect.
I mean, that's borderline disrespect that I just said that. So why did you go to Raucous? They wrote you. Did they write him a nice check, Syf? Big fat check?
I doubt that.
No.
Again, I had a couple of things happening, and I was going to different shows trying to see what was popping, because I know I came from the organized era, so I wanted to see what was current underground. So people were bringing me out to shows, and I was watching cats perform. I finally saw Black Star. Then I went to the bookstore and I saw them. And I hollered at Taleb. And I was like, man, you dudes, tight routines, arrangements, dope choruses. I'm a big fan. Whenever I have some music, he was like, yo, you should talk to my people. They're really dope in terms of the way that they're releasing music is unique. You should check them out. And I sat with them. And they did write me a nice check.
It was a pretty good check.
Syf, yeah.
I know. They're right. Pretty good.
Well, the check they wrote up front would be pretty good.
I mean, I don't know that. Yeah, I wasn't involved with the checks.
Yeah.
It wasn't crazy, but they beat everybody else.
They beat everybody else. You got a nice check, Syf?
Yeah.
But what do you mean? For what?
Monthly. To sit there and go, would this work in the tunnel? Nah. How about this? Will this work in the tunnel? No.
Wait, you got a monthly check?
Yeah, it was an A&R.
You didn't get a salary?
No, tunnel consultant. Yeah, the tunnel consultant. What about this one?
Oh, and nah. By the way, you weren't on the radio yet.
I was on Flex's show.
But not DJing?
No.
Here's my question.
Flex's
O2
guy.
Could that have been a risk? Had you been on the radio at that point, could that have been a risk for Payola?
I don't know. I did it mad time. I had mad A&R jobs.
Like that?
Yeah. Or no, more than that. Back then, it seemed to be okay.
They would just bring you and you go, nah. Yeah.
No, but then they played.
And they played Simon Says. And the one time you said, yeah.
No, because Busta took it. Stole it.
So you didn't even get your chance to get the credit for it.
I mean, I still got partial credit, but Busta stole my shine.
So, Farrah, what's the Simon Says story?
We were finishing up the album, Internal Affairs. And I had went feature crazy, cause coming from the group, MOP, Cannabis, Taleb, Common, Red. Anyway, so I'm like, I gotta get Bust on the record, and I had produced a lot of that album, the song called The Next Shit. Mm. And I was like, I think, you know, Bust could flip these rhythms, and so Bust was in the studio, and we finished recording his vocals. And my manager at the time was like, play him Simon Says. Ah, it's not really done yet, whatever. Play him the record. Play Bust the record. He went bonkers over the shit. And he was like, just give me a copy.
How did you play it? On that?
Yeah. Played it on that. He went bananas over the record. He was like, yo, give me a copy right now. At that time, like, like why?
Just give you a copy.
He was like, give me a copy. Gave him the dat. He was like, watch, I'm on my way to Flex right now. I'm like, I mean, it's not really mixed, blah blah blah. Long story short,
was Flex playing any of your other stuff heavy before?
The record wasn't even,
there was nothing.
I mean, Fudge shit like that. Fudge. I mean, was he even on the air
stress?
At that time?
Not I don't remember really, him playing right? Stress.
Okay.
That's when I first started listening to him.
And so I get a call from Flex at like 2 o'clock the next day.
On a rotary phone?
Pretty much. Pretty much with a big fucking... Anyway, he's like, yo, get ready for the night. I'm like, who is this? It's Flex. I'm like, asthma. Yo, where are you going to play the joint? Yeah. That's that story.
And how hard did he go the first night?
Oh, it was crazy.
You remember it?
Yeah.
Oh, the city was on fire, too.
Yeah, it was crazy. I was in the car on Atlantic Avenue, and the squeegee dude had a radio. And I remember the first time they played it, and he was bringing it back, the squeegee dude was like, I was like, wow, man, that's my song. This is the first time.
No, you could have just turned it on in your car.
I was like.
You could have just listened to it in your car instead of listening from the squeegee guy's radio.
But I had it. I had it on.
Oh, but he was also listening.
Yeah.
Of course he was. Yo, will those moments ever happen again? Quite like that?
Nope. The Simon Says, the Hate Me Now, I think Get At Me Dog. No, not Get At Me Dog. Cam and DMX. Da-da-dun. Yeah, no, the other one. 357 was the other side. Da-da-dun.
Specifically Tunnel Records.
Da-da-dun. That became the term for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the way he did it on the radio, Annie Up, he didn't blow up on the radio. I think he was late on Annie Up.
Hate Me Now was crazy.
Hate Me Now was the biggest one ever. Hate Me Now was like Flex takes money for records.
People just felt because of how
hard that night, I went out and niggas was like, yo, Nas pays Flex, or Diddy pays Flex. Like what he did with Hate Me Now. But Foul Munch was big too, like the first couple times. Like,
and it really was, he just loses it. His ear just is like just rings, loses, like this is it.
He felt hurt that people thought he would take money. Like, he's like, listen to this beat. Why would you not play it like this?
See, this is why we need Flex on Juan Epstein for that conversation. Because people do. Oh, people.
I went into Raucous the next day. They were like, sigh. I was like, yeah.
Even though you didn't do it. not really.
Just
by
that check.
I was like, nah, you know, I mean, Busta brought it. I told Flex it's a go, man.
I just let him know we should move on this. Now, speaking of checks, how much money did you make from Simon Says before you could never make money on it again?
Man. Lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of money.
You made lots and lots and lots and lots of money first. The single sold huge, right?
Yeah, the single sold. Yeah, I believe the single sold 20 million records.
Right. The record everyone
the way they kept records.
Bought.
Who knows?
Underground DJs, commercial DJs, wedding DJs, everybody bought that song. That was that song you had to have.
So they moved tremendous copies of the.
The single as well as the album.
And shows were crazy.
And then.
No. Movies is what fucked you up.
Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
And then, you know, the shows, the album, and the appearances. This is the first time, you know, for me as a rapper that I'm in these different cities and the clubs are just like, just come by.
Right.
Have a bottle. Throw you a couple of your stacks over there.
You don't
you
have
know?
To perform.
I'm like, wow.
Would you still perform,
this
though?
This life is really good on this side.
I like this.
Would you still perform even though you didn't have to?
Yeah, yeah.
Or you at least do the song.
It took me a minute.
The trick is to do it from the DJ booth.
Exactly. It took me a minute to catch on to that because my fans were still lining up for those type of shows.
Right.
Those one fucking come right. through and do it. And motherfuckers were like, what the fuck, B? Like, they just charged us to get in here. You're going to do one song. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the game.
So initially you get the checks, and then what happens? What ruined Simon Says?
So what ruined it is the genesis, the beginning of it. I turned in a sample, and the sample wasn't clear.
It was out for a while, but then it was in a movie, right?
Right. It was kind of like.
But it's the bam, 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 bam.
Right. But what it is it was in five major films. So aside from the regular
so Raucous
rap money,
fucked up because they cleared it,
huh?
Raucous cleared it to be in those movies.
No, we all did.
Oh yeah, y'all.
The problem was
I got greedy.
The problem was I owned a portion of my shit and produced the record,
right?
And so when Charlie's Angels is like, "We want to use your song for the movie," I'm like,
"Yeah."
Give
okay.
Me.
Knowing the sample wasn't cleared?
I didn't know.
Right.
They had, you know, I had Boiler Room. I had five movies out of the time in terms of placement on this record. To this day,
once a week,
major films are like, we are calling you for the usage. I'm like, I don't own that record no more.
To this day.
To this day.
So hold on real quick.
Shit.
All you used, it's a Godzilla sample, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all you used, it's just the beginning? It's the whole thing.
It's the whole thing.
So it starts out like that, but then you chop it for the entire beat.
I chopped it after that. I just used that for the intro, then I chopped, you know, just the four notes. So,
and who owns it?
Yeah, I was mowing the lawn in Queens at my mother's, and this guy comes up and was like, are you Troy Jamerson? I'm like, that's me. Hands me a piece of paper.
Shit.
I look at the paper. I look up. Guy's getting in the car. He's gone. And I'm like, I believe I just got served.
B2K style. Bam.
You got served.
And so legally, I had to hire a, you know, digital music lawyer, which the fees were crazy. In the beginning, the lawsuit was like $40,000, and they tried to fight it, and it went all the way up to $400,000+.
And you lost?
Well, of course. They I don't own the record anymore, and I can't license the record anymore. And my lawyer was...
Yeah.
My
Wait,
lawyer.
The initial lawsuit was you had to pay $40,000?
Collectively.
And you fought it?
No, they fought it.
Why didn't they just pay?
Because they were like...
Wait, paid $40,000 and then they're clear.
Tried to sneak, yeah. And then everybody would be happy right now.
Right.
And you'd have the song still?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. What did Kanye say to Brian and Jarrett when he was on our podcast? Fuck you.
Something like that. It was something along the lines of go fuck yourselves. Now I made you famous. That's the best moment of your life is that I just said your name. I think.
But fucking, they could have just paid the 40 racks.
Everybody
Damn.
Would be good right
so now. 40,000 to basically clear the sample retroactively.
Yes.
And then you could still own your piece and they would have their piece. Fuck.
Yeah, I would still be.
So then they got mad that you fought back.
Well, they had a deposition for the actual case. And so I had to hire a lawyer. And it was funny because my lawyer's position was, if my client films the Super Bowl on a VCR tape or CD or records it, and he has that tape in his house, if he then takes the tape to said friend, and he makes 100,000 copies of that tape and sells it and distributes the tape, who is then at fault? So I was kind of clean on the paying any portions of the money.
Oh, that part's good.
Yeah, I had a good lawyer.
Nice work. So,
but then how's your relationship with Ruckus after that?
It's fucked. Really fucked. I mean, I'm fucking pissed. At the fact of when I think about that, it's painful how easy life would be right now.
Yeah.
You know.
That's a real thing, right? Like, if that had never happened and you were able to continue to get paid, like, don't get me wrong, like, your life is obviously still good, but the amount that you'd have to ever think about income would be significantly different.
Different. Or, being the positive thinker that I am.
Here we go, spin it.
I could have flew off the cliff in the Porsche that I would have bought on the fucking Verrazano and fucking crashed into the fucking pole.
You never know.
You never know.
You never know. How comfortable has life been for you as a rapper? Like, are you always, if you don't make music, are you always good based on previous sales and...
I never get this question you ask.
Why are you not get it? I think it's interesting. Because Pharoah's in between in terms of, like, he doesn't have monster hits since then. No pun intended. Monster hits. But, you know what I'm saying? How is it done? Yeah, how rich are you? How is it done for you?
Man, I'm fucking grinding every day. It's fucking day to day. We're touring. Luckily, I love and this is not, don't sugarcoat shit. I love this shit. I love hip hop. So luckily, it's a good thing. And also, luckily, through those years we talked about, I've amassed a fan base, enough of a fan base to stay working. But it's, no, make no mistake about it, it's like hard work and grind and almost, you know, main level, because you're independent and you're self-employed. I'm paying out of pocket for healthcare before this new system came into place. So, I mean, my monthly is almost what it was back then. So to keep that going, I got to fucking get up every morning, and we got to schedule tours, and I got to do what I can to make that money.
Do you have kids?
No, luckily.
Yo, that's wild.
You have kids?
Oh, wow. Thank God. And I don't mean that in a bad way.
No, I know what you mean.
But, you know, I've always wanted to be with that person. So when I'm surmising this person versus sex, you're like, do you, you know, that's just me.
You weigh that out. You don't, you're not willy-nilly with your dick.
Nah. And I mean not careful.
Who else is in the No Children Club? It's a limited club. Let's be honest.
It's got to be.
Does Quali have any kids? Quali doesn't. Yeah. He does?
Yeah.
He has grown kids? Oh, my God. Well, I got that one wrong.
Yeah, everybody has kids.
Now, what about Mos Def? He doesn't have any kids, does he? Just kidding. I'm sorry. I couldn't resist.
Kids will keep you working hard.
Woo! So it does help, though. You are more comfortable as a result of that. Has to be.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to stress in the same way. No pun intended again.
By choice, like. And I guess that might sound fucked up, too.
Who gives a fuck? No one gets to judge whether or not you need to have kids. Fuck them.
The only person that sounds fucked up to is your baby mom, but she doesn't exist.
Oh, true words never spoken. Yo, Saif, I have to go shoot OTFs.
All right.
We have to go do our TV crap.
I'm going to play more.
Oh, so real quick, though. Let's talk about the album real quick. And I was going to say, I do feel that the interesting part about you is that you oddly have never seemed, you've always seemed somewhat current. Like, even if you're not, even if Simon Says isn't out right now, you've never lost your cachet. Like, I still think you seem cool. You know what I'm saying? You don't seem like a guy who's still rapping. You seem like an artist who just continues to make art and get acclaim and really kind of high respect whenever you put music out. And I always actually feel that, I don't know, it seems like you're one, I always feel like you could always hit a song that, whether it becomes pop hit or not, I don't know, but could get this critical acclaim, could get you nominated for a Grammy, could get you in. Saif, we're still talking. True. So, do you feel that way? Do you feel that, like, you're always capable of just hitting something?
Definitely, man. I mean, that's what the artist works backwards. Like, you're in the studio, you're writing a melody, you're like, you see yourself at the Grammys, and you work back from that point. So I think any artist underground, whatever, they lie. And if they say it's not true, they see that, the end point. You should fucking see the end point, which is, that's one of the pinnacles. But like I said, man, because I haven't put out a large body of work, it is kind of like, I do see it as art pieces, and I think that has helped me, because it hasn't come off like, I'm like, let me feed you.
Yo, check this out. Yo, check this out. Exactly. Yo, check this out. Do you even do mixtapes?
I've done like one before the Desire album. But other than that, nah.
It's albums. That's it. I respect it. I really respect that he moves that way. I think it's part of what keeps it special and not seeming. Saif, are you just waiting to end this interview so you can go listen to his music?
Rock on. What's the name of that song again?
13.
So, PTSD is out right now. It's different. It's dope. It's got, I would say from what I've heard, it's got your Pharoah Monch rap that you love. It also has some different experimental things, which has, in my opinion, if you're a Pharoah fan, has come to be something you love, that you know you're a guy who's going to push it musically and not just, it's not just going to be boom bap and you rapping. You're going to get all kinds of things.
Yep. Yeah, we got Black Thought on the album. We got Talib on the album. The Nine Porters on the album. Lee Stone, Marco Polo. it's really solid. I mean, the fans are just going bananas.
They love
over
it.
Yeah.
Yo, hey, Saif, can you shut up for a minute? Just please shut up. I hate to say this on your own podcast, but shut your fucking mouth. Shut your fucking mouth. Yo, what about, we didn't even get to tell one J Dilla story. Did you know Dilla well?
Nah, I didn't.
J Dilla
didn't
story.
Yo!
Hey, fuck a J Dilla story, Farrell.
Why?
Fuck out of here, man.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about that.
You can't tell me to shut up and rush the podcast and then get in a J Dilla story. You wasted that time. You wasted it. There's no J Dilla story happening.
Hold on,
today.
By the way.
Fuck off.
None of it gets to come. None of this is good no matter what. There, it's you listening in something else. How is that an argument? Me having to leave has nothing to do with that. But
were both those SPs on the back of the album yours?
Nah, one was mine, one was his.
Post?
It was yours, though. You own both of them.
Yeah.
I was like, why do they have two? Can I have one?
Really? And that was the question that you're going to jump in. No, I don't really know. I don't really. The funniest part, Saif, is that when the first time I ever met Farrell Monch, the first thing he ever remembered from me that he always tells me is that I interviewed him. I was nobody. I was up here doing CMJ, and he did a thing, and I had a video camera, and I waited outside to interview him. And like my second question was like, yo, that J Dilla song you did. Yo, I never really fuck with that joint.
Who said that?
Me. But always made him remember me. It was like a very odd approach. I was like, I liked it as just an instrumental. And he took it in such good stride. He was like, all right, that's interesting. You should have said, go fuck yourself, really.
Nah.
Maybe you're too nice. That song's grown on me. I was just so in love with the beat before you rhymed on it. Yeah. It was to me.
What's that song called?
Love.
It's called J Dilla.
That's Confusion or Farrell Monch?
No, J Dilla.
Oh, J Dilla.
It was a hard. Did you rhyme on that while he was alive?
Yeah.
Oh, you guys did that song together?
Yeah. He sent it to me.
Did you guys have much of? Did you guys have a relationship?
We met a couple of times in L.A. We met a couple of times after he went out to L.A. and That's pretty much it, but we didn't have, like...
So you guys weren't, like, super close.
Nah.
But obviously just mutual respect and friends in common.
Definitely.
Yeah, I just think it was a bit of a setup. I think you got set up, my man. I love Dilla, but he set you up. Because that beat was already known. And yo, you have a Jesse West record on here?
Incredible.
Yo, oh, really? That song was dope.
Mm.
Yo, Marco Polo, Jesse West, Farrell Monch, Lee Stone...
Lion's Share, Boogie Blind, Lion's Share. You're going to hear a lot about them.
How many songs do you have on here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
It's only...
Like 11?
Like skits. Only like 12 or 13
I
songs.
Respect this.
Yeah.
All right, guys, it's out right now. It's called PTSD.
Yeah.
Saif's now listening to the J Dilla song.
Yeah.
What do you think about this?
He hates it. Look at him. He's like, this ain't organized confusion. What's this?
You don't like the beat either?
Sorry. That ain't no organized confusion.
Yo, thanks, Farrell.